The scripture reading this morning from the New Testament is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. If you'd like to follow along, that's on page 1503 in your pew Bible. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Our second reading from the gospel is from the gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 5 through 13. It can be found on page 1577 of your pew Bible. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Watch that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming that I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed, for such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils, flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. And whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not speaking, not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. God, my words, O God, by your word and spirit, that we may learn and proclaim your good news for the sake of Jesus Christ, the bearer of hope for all people. Amen. Now, back B.C., before children, my wife and I liked to enjoy a calm, wonderful evening enjoying board games. And in fact, if you look into our closet, we have amassed a wonderful collection of board games that are just now, for the last 3 years, have been collecting dust. One of the games we liked to play when other people were over was this game called Settlers of Catan. It is a European style board game, and it's you can see it's kind of crazy on the back here. And I'm not going to try to explain the rules to you because it's going to take all day, and you don't need to play this later. But just to say that you're building an empire of roads and villages and cities, and you're competing against the other players for resources in the game. And whoever gets to 10 points wins. There's this little evil thing that happens in this game, and it's this little gray token right here. This is the thief. And any time in the game when you roll a 7, you have to move this evil little character. And when you put this character on someone else's little tile, you shut them down altogether. They don't produce anything from their land. No bricks, no wheat, no nothing. And the next character rolls a 7. He or she gets to move this little thief onto someone else's tile. And I don't have to tell you, as the game gets more intense, and you're getting close to those 10 points, oh boy, when that 7 gets out, everybody starts campaigning. Oh, get him. Get her. She's almost there. She almost made it. She's almost at 10 points. Shut her down. And it becomes this nasty little eye for an eye kind of thing as you get to the game, as you get to towards the end of the game. I can remember one evening, in fact, Stephen's here today, or my brother-in-law, Ann's brother. We decided one night that we were going to make four-way ravioli. He was going to hand-make the pasta, and he was going to hand-make the different sauces and things that went inside. It was going to be a wonderful evening. And it was going to take 6 hours before we finished eating dinner. So we decided that we were going to play a game of Settlers of Catan. We said, we got time. Let's do it. Let's play while we're cooking this ravioli. And let me tell you, by the end of that game, we were so mad at each other, angry. Oh, this is great ravioli, but I hate you. Realized that as we were playing this game, that even if you won, you were miserable. It caused you to do some really nasty things, and at the end, everybody felt really bad about themselves. So let's just say we don't play Settlers of Catan anymore. It's doing bad things to our marriage, my brother-in-law's friendship. So whether you know it or not, I think we all kind of recognize that we are in the middle as a society and as a human race in the middle of a particularly nasty game of Settlers of Catan. Starting to feel that way, isn't it? This constant ratcheting up of nastiness, bitterness, and violence. We're being asked also to heap onto the pile, committing our hearts and minds to continuing this cycle further. Everybody in society is telling us, you've got to join this, or you've got to be a piece of that, you've got to be outraged at this. That the lies that perpetuate this cycle even further, the cycle of destruction where we're heaping on to that nastiness, are the same as when Jesus was doing ministry. Violence will solve our problems. Our country is our God. You should always suspect those who don't share your values. On and on and on and on. You've heard them all. And you know that these lies that we spread throughout our country and our world, you know these because they're the ones that drag you down into the muck, into the mire, into those bad places where they make you feel fearful, upset, angry. And they're present in all circles, progressive, conservative, rich, poor, black, white, Catholic, reformed. When that chaos swirls around us, the temptation is even greater to pick a side, to lash out at your designated enemies. Commit violence, if not with your fists, with your words, your actions. To us broken people, the cycle of nastiness and violence makes sense. Since we were kids, it made sense, right? You got me, I get you. Eye for an eye. Escalate until we all suffer. Where even those that win cannot celebrate because of what it costs to get there. We are a nation, right, of people that you can go to West Virginia and go to the Hatfield and McCoy Trail. They have an app I found out this week. You can get on your phone and follow the Hatfield-McCoy Trail on my phone. Okay, this is where this guy got killed. Oh my goodness. that story should tell us something, right? That eye for an eye was destroying two families completely. That when we continue to feed into the cycle, that we all suffer, that we all hurt, and that nobody wins. And we drag all of ourselves down into the muck and the mire. There has to be another way. There must be another path to walk. When Mark was writing his gospel around 69 AD, Israel was in the midst of war. They were battling the Romans for independence. It was the Jewish-Roman War. 3 years earlier, a revolt had begun in Jerusalem by the Jewish people against Rome. And Roman legions were sent in to wipe out the insurrectionists, the Jewish insurrectionists. And the Jewish fighters resisted them. And they fought and they fought and they fought. The Roman soldiers made way, but they stopped them at the temple. And they drove the Roman legions out. They had won, and they celebrated, God saved us. However, the freedom was short-lived, as another battalion was sent in quickly to occupy the regions of Jerusalem. And just before it began to assault the city of Jerusalem, they were called back because Nero, the Caesar, had been killed. And they needed as many soldiers to keep peace in Rome. We've been saved twice. God has saved Jerusalem twice. It's a miracle. We're going to win the war. But then after a year and a half waiting, and knowing that the soldiers probably were going to be coming back, Rome descended upon Jerusalem, sacked the town, and the temple that had been saved twice was burnt to the ground. Almost every piece of it knocked down. So when you read Mark 13, you can hear in Jesus' prophecy what was to come. Wars and rumors of wars. Nation against nation. Kingdom versus kingdom. Brother betraying brother. When Mark was writing down Jesus' words, Jewish generals were trying to recruit troops for the insurrection. They knew the Romans would be back, and they needed to ramp up the numbers for the resistance. So they didn't just go to the Jewish brothers and sisters, they also went to their Christian churches and said, hey, you need to join us in this battle. We need you. We need you to fight for freedom. We need you to fight for the independence of Israel. And so when these words were written, Mark's church was trying to struggle with, what do we do? Do we fight? Do we join Israel, the Jewish insurrectionist, against the Romans? Or do we resist? And so what Mark did, his church did, is they went back and looked at Jesus' words. What did Jesus say about this? How should we act? So in Mark 13, Jesus tells these Christians, do not be deceived by others claiming power over their bodies and souls, but more importantly, do not align yourselves with anyone except me, the gospel, the good news. Resist temptation to join in the war raging around you. Stand firm in your faith. Yes, there will be consequences, but your actions will be a witness reminding the world of the way of Christ. Did you notice in Mark 13 that not once does he tell the Christians to resist the people who were arresting them? He says you will be brought before trials, before synagogues, before kings. He does not say ever once to resist with violence, but resist with the word of God, the way of Christ. Now we have to remember, right, that Jesus, as he was leading up to the cross, had every opportunity to lash out, to get down off that cross, to hurt his enemies, those who put him on that cross. And yet Jesus chose another way. Jesus chose the way of nonviolence, of breaking the cycle of violence. Because up to that point, it had been eye for an eye, eye for an eye, eye for an eye. And Jesus said, I'm not going to participate in this anymore. I'm not going to keep escalating this arms race of violence and destruction. I'm going to take the path of love and grace, even if it means my death. Even if it's what it takes for everyone here to see, there has to be another way. So the early Christians were called also to resist the Jewish recruiters to war, daring to opt out of the merry-go-round of pain and destruction. They were labeled as traitors. They were labeled as Roman sympathizers. Their families turned against them. They were flogged. They were put on trial, all because they said, I don't want to be a part of violence. They wanted to stand firm with Christ. So we too are called to stand firm, to resist the temptation to join in on the violence all around us. And violence, you all know, comes in many forms: physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual, verbal, neglect. You will be called by society, and you already have been called by society, by people you love, by people you respect, to take part in this mess. They will bait you to join in on tearing down of your fellow human beings. They will try to enlist you using fear tactics. Both sides do this. But a violence, we have to remember, is a choice. It's a choice. And we're called to resist. Do not feed into the machine that surrounds us. Choose Christ, choose love, choose grace. To do so, we recognize that there will be consequences. That choosing violence means that nonviolence means that we can be hurt by those who don't respect or don't see it our way. But we know that this is the way of Christ. That 2,000 years ago, Jesus dared to break the cycle of violence that was present in the world to show us a new way. And we have seen how the old way works. More destruction, more pain, more violence. The only way out of this mess is to choose the way of Christ and stand firm in that no matter the consequences. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.